We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, it is playoff weekend. Six games. Wow, triple header tomorrow, triple header on Sunday. We have the national championship game to talk about with the man, the myth, the legend. Happy New Year, Nick Kostos. What's up?
Sony and Jensen, what's going on, guys? Happy New Year to you. Happy Football Friday.
Yes, indeed. It's going to be a weekend like none other. Let's go chronologically. First game will be in Buffalo. There will be some fans there, not Governor Cuomo, where the Bills are favored by, what, 6.5 points?
That's right, yeah. Buffalo is 6.5 point right now over at Bet Rivers, favored over the Indianapolis Colts. Going to be cold in Buffalo, obviously. I don't know if that portends well for Phillip Rivers if the Colts have to play in comeback mode. The Bills getting a bit of good news as Cole Beasley, slot receiver, returning to practice on Thursday in a limited fashion. So it looks like we'll have Cole Beasley and Stephon Diggs both playing for Josh Allen and the Bills here. Here's how I think I want to play this game, because it is a lot of points, and I do think the Colts are going to be able to score some points here. I like the over a little bit at 51. Points. If I had to bet this game against the spread, I would lay it with Buffalo. I just think the Bills are a much better team than the Colts, and I don't think the Colts are going to be able to roll out of bed like they have against some teams down the stretch with Jonathan Taylor and just run for 200 plus yards. You know, the Bills' run defense has quietly been like very good over the last like six games of the season, and if you look at their season-long metrics, and I think that's what a lot of people will use, they'll be like, oh, well, over the course of the season, the Bills' run defense hasn't been great. Okay. Yeah, that's fine, but you can't ignore context, right? Down the stretch of the season, their defense was actually pretty good. So I think that Buffalo's defense against the Indianapolis offense is a pretty good matchup, and the Colts' defense has been leaky down the stretch of the season, and Buffalo's offense, obviously this A-gun, unlike the K-gun with Jim Kelly back in the day, the A-gun with Josh Allen has been absolutely marvelous. And if he's going to have his full complement of weapons, there's only one way for me to look, and it would be to lay with the Buffalo Bills. It might be a square play. I don't care. I'm going to do it. And if people are squeamish about laying this many points, 6 or 6.5 right now over at Bet Rivers, I think you could tease the Bills down. It's not the best mathematical play. You're not teasing through 7 and 3, giving yourself the most like numerical value. But I think Buffalo will win this game. I think their win probability extraordinarily high. So Bills are nothing for me in the first game tomorrow.
Well, and Nick, I'm curious, how does a player, even though Josh Allen is young and he hasn't had a lot of opportunity in the playoffs, how does a player's shortcoming in a certain scenario and situation play into your ability to have confidence in making that bet?
It doesn't mean anything to me. It's like these are and I appreciate the question, but it's like these are trends, like quote-unquote trends, that mean absolutely nothing, where it's like, well, Josh Allen last year against the Houston Texans, the Bills lost that game. It's like, I don't care about that. Like, great, like this is an entirely new like set of circumstances here. He's coming off a season where he's like probably what, third for NFL MVP behind Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. Like, stuff like that means nothing to me. Like, it's just, it has nothing to do with this particular game, you know, unless like it turns into like a crazy, you know, it's, we're like four playoff games in and he's horrendous in the playoff games and he's great in the regular season, then we can maybe be like, okay, there's something mental going on there. It's only been one playoff game for Josh Allen. I don't even think he played that bad in the game. I mean, he was a little reckless with the ball, had that one ridiculous fumble while he was carrying it, but I don't think that has much to do with this. It doesn't concern me at all.
The Rams in Seattle getting 3.5. Obviously, everything depends on Jared Goff, correct?
Yeah, of course. So when the number of, originally came out for this game, Seahawks -4.5, to me, that's kind of bookmakers kind of like putting their flag right in the middle of where Goff and Wolford would be. So I think if John Wolford is announced as the starter, and I'll say, I expect it to be Jared Goff. I think we'll see Jared Goff. He's officially questionable on the injury report. I think it's going to be Goff. But if for whatever reason it's Wolford, this number is going to go up to 6. If it's Goff, it's going to come down to 3. I actually think it should be under 3 if it's Jared Goff. And kind of my take on the game the entire week has been, if it's Wolford at 6, I like the Rams. If it's Goff in 3, I like the Rams. I like the Rams either way here. Now, that is clouded a little bit now that it looks like Jamal Adams is going to play. He is not on Seattle's final injury report. He's obviously safety for Seattle, but he's their best pass rusher and has been all season here. I like the Rams either way. And we look back a couple weeks ago when these two teams played week 16 in the Pacific Northwest, and Seattle closed like a 1.5, maybe a 2-point favorite in that game, depending on where you are looking. And I understand, right, if Goff isn't going to be 100% and the Rams didn't look good in that game, and Seattle did look good, obviously, winning that game 20-9. But for me, like, to get from 1.5 or 2 to 3, I know it's only like 1.5 or 1 point, but people need to understand how massive that is. Like, when the number moves to 3 or like to 7 in the National Football League, right? These are the numbers that games land on the most. So I think it's like a seismic move here. And I don't necessarily think it's warranted, where this Rams defense is so good and I think matches up very well with the Seattle offense. And these two teams have consistently over the course of the last 2 years, 2+ years, play low scoring games against each other, right? So I think the under is very much worth a look at 42.5, especially if it's Goff and he's not able to move around a lot. And if it's 3 or 3.5 and it's Goff, give me the Rams. If it's 6 and it's Wolford, give me the Rams.
Tomorrow night, my former football team, the Washington football team, takes the field against the Bucs. You've got one of the better pass rush teams. They've had 47 sacks this season. They can put pressure with 4. Jack Del Rio can dial up a few blitzes. And we know that that's Tom Brady's kryptonite at this point in his career. Is 8.5 too much for the Bucs?
See, so here's my question with this game, and it's kind of like a game theory thing. And John, curious actually what you think about this as a former player. So, you know, we saw the Bucs kind of do this in the past this season, right? Before they're like, they had the latest bye week, week 13, mm-hmm. especially in the Rams Monday night game, right? Where I have felt at points this season that Bruce Arians, Bucs coach, has been way too stubborn with his offensive system, right? Which is to like let Brady like pat the ball for 4 seconds, chuck it down the field. And like you said, like this is their kryptonite, right? We saw it in the Rams game on Monday night when Aaron Donald and the Rams were able to affect Brady that entire game. We've seen it. We saw it against the Saints twice. We saw it against the Chicago Bears. Whereas coming out of the bye, there's been a difference in this Bucs offense. Brady's getting the ball out of his hands a lot quicker, where I don't know what you think about this, if you think that Arians is going to be stubborn here against this Washington front four, but I think that if they're able to, the game plan is let Brady get the ball out of his hands quickly. And I think that if that's the case, then even if Mike Evans doesn't go, and he did practice on a limited basis on Thursday, which to me seems like he'll probably play, even if Evans doesn't play, I think they can absorb the loss of Evans. It could turn into a Godwin game, an Antonio Brown game, a Gronk game, more Fournette out of the backfield here, where I think the Bucs can definitely score as long as, like, spread them out. Patriots offense, basically, the old Patriots offense, let Brady get the ball out of his hands quickly. So I think the Bucs can score enough points if that's the case. And on the flip side here, here's where I think the handicap for Washington gets a little tricky. How's Washington scoring against this Tampa defense? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Washington's offense has been brutal. Alex Smith practiced on a limited basis all week. I think there's a legitimate like case to be made that Taylor Heinicke gives Washington the best chance to win this week. That is not an anti-Alex Smith take. Alex Smith is clearly not healthy. Washington's two best weapons in the passing attack, rookie running back Antonio Gibson, second-year running back wide receiver Terry McLaurin, both also practicing on a limited basis. McLaurin did not look good in the Sunday night win against Philadelphia despite the short touchdown reception. I think it's Tampa or nothing here for me, but I don't know how much confidence I have in this Bucs offensive game plan here. So I like the under. I don't think Washington's going to be able to score, and a lean for me towards Tampa Bay.
How much on Sunday is the first game do you go with the home dog factors? The Titans are getting 3.5 at home.
Don't care about it at all, Bill, unless any of those anyone, you know, that maybe in the stands in Nashville, any Titans fans like are good defensive players and can come down on the field and actually play defense for this terrible defense in Tennessee. The number right now is 3.5 for the Ravens. Baltimore minus 3.5, and this is a revenge spot, obviously, for Baltimore. Titans bounced them from the playoffs last year and obviously beat them early in the regular season this year. At 3.5, I don't have a ton of interest in Baltimore. I think this number probably will come back down to 3 at some point, maybe then go back up to 3.5. We saw that happen once already this week. So my buy point with Baltimore is Ravens minus 3. I think that becomes a pretty good bet for me. The total right now currently sitting at 54.5. I wouldn't bet the under. This Titans defense is atrocious, and since Lamar came off the COVID list over their last 5 games, this offense is literally averaging 40 points per game. And I know some people will point to, well, look at the competition they face. These defenses they faced aren't great. Have you Have you seen the Titans defense? Like, it is by far the worst remaining defense remaining in the NFL playoffs here. So I think it stands to reason that Lamar and Dobbins and Gus Edwards and Hollywood Brown and Mark Andrews, I think they'll be able to roll it up. And in the game that Tennessee beat Baltimore in earlier in the regular season, people will remember the Derrick Henry run at the end of overtime, right, to win the game. Heading into the fourth quarter, Derrick Henry was averaging 2.6 yards per carry. And people will say, well, you know, that's what Henry does, right? He wears you down for the entire game, and in the fourth quarter, he explodes. True. But I'll also invite people to remember that in that game, the Ravens were without Calais Campbell. They were without Brandon Williams on their defensive line. Justin Madbuke, one of their backups, also didn't play in that game. And the Ravens basically structured their entire offseason this year, after what Henry did to them in the playoffs last year, around making sure that doesn't happen again with the drafting of Patrick Queen in the first round with Calais Campbell. So I think you're going to get a Ravens defense with a concerted effort to stop the run. A.J. Brown didn't practice yesterday, although I do think he'll play. Ravens are nothing for me on Sunday.
One-word answers for the last two games. Just give me the teams here because I want to get a little more detailed into the college game. Bears getting 10.5 at New Orleans, and the Steelers 6.5 they're giving to the coachless Cleveland Browns.
Over 47 in the Bears and the Saints. I bet the Steelers earlier in the week at 4. I can't really recommend much in this game because I don't know how to quantify what it means for a team to be without both their head coach and their play caller. So stay away from me on Sunday Night Football, and I like over 47 and a lean toward, I would not bet the Bears. Saints are nothing for me, but I like over 47.
All right, Monday night in Miami. It's Ohio State, Alabama. 8.5 is what I saw, or it might go up to 8.5 because it opened, what, at like 7.5? How do you see this game? I mean, obviously, the over-under is, what, 75.5, 77, something like that?
Yeah, so I think this game won't be apples to apples like Ohio State-Clemson, but I think the point spread kind of looks similar. It makes me feel similar, right? Where anything over a touchdown, I want to play Ohio State. And I think Ohio State's going to be able to keep this game somewhat close. Now, I'm not saying I'm rushing to put like a money line ticket in on Ohio State. I did bet Ohio State against Clemson in the semifinal on New Year's Day. But I think Ohio State should be able to stay within the number here. But the play that I'm really interested in, so like I like Ohio State. I don't love Ohio State. I love this over, and here's what I would encourage everyone to do, whether it's you guys, Stoney and Jansen, or people listening at home, right? What is the minimum number of points that you expect Alabama will score in this game? Like, the minimum number. For me, that number's 38. Like, I can't envision a scenario where Alabama scores less than 38 points on this Ohio State defense, given how good the Alabama offense is with Heisman winner Devontae Smith. On the flip side, what is the minimum number of points that Justin Fields, Chris Olave, Trey Sermon, and Ohio State are going to score in this game? I kind of think that number is 30, and obviously that takes us towards like the 8-point spread here. That takes us up towards 68, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the minimum that I think we'll see scored in this game by both teams. So if that's the case, and the minimum 68 points, I love this over here. Like, I kind of think Alabama's going to score 50. I certainly think Ohio State can score enough to get the game over the total if that's the case here. I'll also say, if you out there, person listening, and maybe you don't think this given, you know, where we're doing this interview in, if you think Ohio State can cover the spread, I think it absolutely correlates to the over because Alabama's absolutely scoring in this game, right? The game only goes under if Alabama wins in, like, blowout fashion. Like Ohio State can't win this game, and the game goes under the total. So I think if you like Ohio State, I think it correlates towards the over. I like the over anyway, almost regardless here. A lean for me towards Ohio State covering the spread. I think Alabama's win probability is pretty high, though, to win the national championship.
Nick, thanks a lot. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next Friday.
Looking forward to it, guys. Wishing you and all the great listeners out there minimal sweats, winning bets, and the absolute very best of luck.
All right. That's Nick Costos joins us every week, thanks to the great folks at Bet Rivers.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.